you. I'm an addict. My name's Fred.
Hey, Fred.
What is Narcotics Anonymous? Well, it seems like my perception of Narcotics Anonymous has changed over the years since I've been clean. When I first got clean, I looked at everything that was offered, you know, and I still do, but I'm more sensitive to exactly what I look at, you know. When I first got clean, all I was looking for was a way to quit using drugs. That's all. I had no idea that there was this big cloud that goes with NA of all this other stuff that was going to end up raining down on me the longer I stayed clean. And what I'm talking about are things like, he says, a home group. You know, it was directed to me when I first got clean to get a home group, and I did that, and sponsor was another thing I did. And then I slowly became active in my home group as they let me, you know, making coffee and setting up tables and chairs, and we had ashtrays back then, you know, and cleaning up afterwards and hugging people when they come in the door. And I used my sponsor. I've been real fortunate in my willingness to have a sponsor that I actually use. I don't mean to stand up here and take anybody's inventory or, you know, try to speak bad about anything. You know, I see things that go on in Narcotics Anonymous, and what I've come to learn for myself, and this is just my own belief, that there are two distinctly different parts of Narcotics Anonymous, okay? Along with getting home groups and sponsors, and then someone suggested that I buy a basic text and start reading it, which I did. Someone suggested that I get a service commitment, which I did, and I still to this day serve. I've been fortunate that I sponsor people. I've worked steps, I've worked traditions, I've had H&I commitments, you know, all these things that are a part of Narcotics Anonymous, I've done. Some of them willingly, some of them not so willing, because they told me to do it, you know. And I'm one of them kind of people, too, that I'm 46 years old, all right? I didn't get clean until I was 35, 34, somewhere around in there. There's stuff out there now that I never heard of, okay? They're slinging and doing stuff out there that I have no idea what it is. I have a tendency to believe that if I was still out there, I would be doing it, because I was one of them kinds that, you know, figure out what's going to kill me and then just back it off a hair, you know? And that's what I used to run after. But I read the paper, you know, and I hear all these stories about, you know, how people act out there in their active addiction. And you know, granted, and I'm not trying to put a air of better or worse than, you know, but the stuff that I did, and it was wrong, and it was nasty, but compared to what I hear today that goes on out there, it wasn't that bad. If I went out, I'd never come back. I can stand up here and honestly tell you that. I don't have it in me anymore to dig down and do whatever has to be done to get the next one. I would be on a mission of just total self-destruction. And I hear about fear in NA, and that's probably one of my few fears, that if I were to go out, I would never come back. And a lot of times that keeps me clean. I don't want to be out there on the street. I don't want to be on a corner. I don't want to be have people shooting at me. I don't want to be doing any of that stuff anymore. So I keep coming back. But, you know, along the way, I've worked some steps, and I've got a little bit of an understanding about what powerlessness is and what unmanageability is, and I'm starting to understand God a little bit and what it takes to turn my will and my life over. And, you know, I've done the searching and fearless moral inventory, and I shared that with my sponsor and did a list of character defects and shortcomings and, you know, made the list of amends and started making amends. And went into the next phase of it, of just trying to focus on how I'm behaving today, and, you know, so on and so forth. And my life has gotten a lot better. We were having a conversation on the way up here about God. I didn't start the conversation. I don't ever start conversations about God. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, they say if you go to a bar and you want to talk politics or religion, you'll get into an argument. Well, come into NA and talk about God, and, you know, that'll probably juice up the conversation a little bit. So I just sat back, and while the other two were sort of going back and forth with trying to dictate their belief of God on each other, I'm just sitting back there thinking about all the things that I have in my life today. I'm clean. The greatest gift of all. I woke up this morning, I wasn't sick. I was hungry, as a matter of fact, and I got to eat breakfast. I went to a job, and I'm work on the road. It takes about an hour to get to the office, and then during the day I'm on the road, and I got a cell phone, another blessing, that enables me to call. I talk to 3, 4, 5, 6 recovering addicts every day. Just while I'm driving around, they start calling people. And I've got a wife, and I've got a son, and I've got some good friends in my life that I wouldn't have had if it wouldn't have been for this program. And then I got to narrow that down a little bit and think where that comes from. I believe it comes from the spiritual principles that you may hear about in these rooms, you know, working steps and, you know, trying to find out a little bit about yourself. And so the one half of Narcotics Anonymous for me is the actual basis, the foundation of what this program is all about. I have a friend that lives in California that's a real fanatic on NA stuff. You know, you went over his house and it was like a shrine. He had all these pamphlets and books that, you know, that they wrote back in the 1960s, and, you know, and I started reading this stuff and started to get a little bit of an understanding of what it was like back then. Okay? Like the groundbreaking of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, what these people went through to get to a meeting. And I hear people in the fellowship today that have 20, 25, 30 years and more that talk about, you know, when they got clean, there was 2 NA meetings that they had, you know, that they could go to, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I was speaking to a woman that's here from another country, and she's relaying to me about what it's like to try and recover in a foreign country where you are actually prosecuted or persecuted, I guess would be a better word, for being a recovering addict, that they actually have to sneak and hide and have meetings. They can't have meeting lists. They can't, you know, try and do any PI work because people are actually looking for recovering addicts, not to help them and get clean, but to put them down. So, you know, I'm real fortunate on that end. I think we all are. And I started to reflect about a year ago about why I do this. Why am I in recovery? You know? I didn't come in here expecting riches. Okay? I didn't think that by getting clean, I would end up with a bunch of money. I didn't think that by getting clean, I would have the outside material stuff that I've accumulated. Cars and furniture and clothes and all that kind of stuff. That never entered my mind. What I did have a tendency to believe when you people told me was that I could stay clean another day if I did what you told me to do. In our reading, if you want we have the offer and are willing to make the effort to get it, and you're ready to take certain steps, and there's spelled out right there, right in front of me. These are the spiritual principles that I'm talking about, working the 12 steps. Reading the literature and, you know, the IPs and going to a meeting when I have to go to a meeting and share what's going on with me and talking to my sponsor and other people and writing stuff down when I feel the need to do that. These are all things that, that are there that I can take advantage of, that I started to see that people 40 years ago could take advantage of. The same things that applied when Narcotics Anonymous started still apply today. So for me, that part of the program are the spiritual principles. The other part of the program is the part that I think that, well, I know I have a problem with it, and probably because sometimes I'm part of the problem, and that is the people that make up the fellowship. It seems like every time I notice something going on, it never has to do with one of the glitches in the planning of Narcotics Anonymous. It has to do with our inability to take direction and our inability to do things. I've seen people, I can't tell you how many people I have seen that were here when I got clean, that went out and used and came back, went out and used, came back and forth for 12 plus years that I've been around. I've seen a lot of them that went out and never came back. I've had dear friends and sponsees that have died from using, that were clean and went back out and used. People change. I go to meetings today and God, I never thought I'd, you know, I'm getting into the point where I remember when I first got clean and was talking about issues with my father and said, God, I never want to be like that man, and I ended up being like him. I'm standing up here sounding like them people when I first got clean and stood up there and said, Narcotics Anonymous isn't the same as when I got clean. But you know what? It's not. Part B is not. The people aren't the same. People come and go. People change. And sometimes I feed into that. Sometimes I let that affect my recovery. Sometimes I listen to what they're saying. Sometimes I gravitate to the negative people. Sometimes I go too far out of my way to help somebody that doesn't want help. This is the part of Narcotics Anonymous that I have a problem with. If I can stay focused on the fundamentals, on what kept me clean, and what's been working for me, I'm okay. I've got to the point in my recovery that people that have known me for years know what I'm like. Okay? If you just meet me, I'm going to seem like a semi-standoffish person. I go to a meeting 5-10 minutes before it starts. I go in, I sit down. I may get a cup of coffee, I listen to the lead, I get involved in a discussion meeting. When the meeting's over and we close the meeting, I hang around for about 5 minutes and I leave. Because I ended up hurting myself and hurting other people because I fed into all the outside stuff that goes on in NA. I forgot that I'm supposed to practice spiritual principles. I guess we got to cut to the chase. I'm not being honest up here, and I guess I got to be honest and let you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you may have heard, some of you may not have heard, but somebody in Narcotics Anonymous decided a month or so ago to start talking about something that they knew absolutely nothing about. And it's like that old shampoo commercial where one person told one person about this shampoo, and then two people, and then four and eight, and then all of a sudden you got a big screen full of people. And what happened was that because one person decided to open their mouth and say something that they didn't know what they were talking about to somebody else, then the story got a little more tangled and a little more, you know, weaved, and, you know, before you knew it, we come out the other end of it with this big blown out affair. It really doesn't bother me, because I remember my mother telling me once that my mother was one of those kind of people that was really spiritually grounded, just because I think she was blessed in that area. And she never got too upset about stuff. And I asked her, I says, how do you do this? How do you not let things bother you? And she says, well, you know, I just worry about myself. That's all I worry about. I don't worry about what anybody else is doing. I just focus on myself. She said, I could be walking down the middle of Brookline Boulevard and people could be standing on both sides of the street screaming, Vera is a whore, Vera is a whore. And she said, it wouldn't bother me because I know I'm not a whore. And I didn't know what she was talking about then, but I do now. I found out through having it happen to me. See, I probably didn't notice it when I was doing it. all right? But I noticed it when it was happening to me, how hurtful it is. And it's not based on spiritual principles. It's based on addictive behavior, I guess. You know, the need to talk about others, the need to take other people's inventories, the need to judge people for being uncompassionate, all the things that are non-spiritual. And it hurt. I got to tell you, it hurt. And I went into a defense mode for about 2 days. And then it dawned on me that, you know what, this is not about me and spiritual principles. That I need to back off and I just need to keep doing what I'm doing and worry about myself. And that's what I've been able to do. I love Narcotics Anonymous. And I will continue to come to Narcotics Anonymous until I die or use. And the reason I do that is, once again, because of the spiritual principles that have been given to me and my ability to follow direction and work these spiritual principles. We were talking on the way up here about all the different little things that are happening. The prayers that we use to close our meetings and, you know, people that have a home group and a sponsor, raise your hand, and, you know, people that said it in the reading here, that people identify themselves as cross-addicted or addicts and alcoholics. I'm about this far from getting over all that, okay? I'm at the plateau, and so it doesn't bother me that somebody who has about 6 months clean in the car said, I'm a newcomer. I don't know what they're talking about. You know, like, what do I listen to? What message do I hear? And I tried to tell them, I said, you listen to what you believe is right, and you put the rest aside. If nobody else in here believes it, I have a responsibility to the people that come in the door behind me to try and give a pure Narcotics Anonymous lead, to try and show pure spiritual principles that can save your life. When I don't do that, then I'm not fulfilling my commitment as an addict. And it's a fine line that I have to walk because I'm an addict. And in my mind, at times, wants to go back to the negative. My mind wants to go back to doing all the crazy stuff that I did before I got in here. I'm at a point in my life now with working all this stuff that, you know what, a lot of times I tell myself that I got no excuse anymore, you know? I can't act that way anymore. I can't sit, because there was a time when I was working the first step, man, I ran with that one. Everything in my life that happened to me, I'm powerless. I can't deal with it. You know, problems with my kid, I'm powerless. Problems with my wife, I'm powerless. The job, I'm, you know, give me powerlessness, and I ran with it. I remember doing my eighth step and, you know, I didn't want to take responsibility. I remember telling my sponsor that I did the list the first time and gave it to him, and he said, there's nobody on there you got high with. I said, I don't owe those people amends. I beat him, he beat me. She beat her and this one and that, you know. It was a game. We were all involved. We knew what we were doing. I don't owe any of that money back to these people I beat. I don't owe them any amends for the wrongs I did them because they knew what they were getting into. See, no. This is about me. This is about what I need to do for myself to be okay. And it's hard. It's hard sometimes to stay focused. I was originally asked to speak tomorrow night on Just for Today. And was kind of looking forward to that one, and then this morning found out that somebody canceled for tonight, and they knew I was coming up and asked me if I could do it, because, you know, all I got to worry about is what I'm doing right now, you know. I can't, and I used to dwell on what I did in the past, so much so that I'll tell you a little story. The first spiritual awakening I had that dealt with this, I took my family to, no, see, there we go. That's the addict in me. My family went to Disney World together, okay? We got down there, and my son was on a ride. He was maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, and he was saying on the ride, he was saying the whole time for months before, I want to go to Disney World, I want to go to Disney World, I want to go to Disney World. So we saved and we planned and we went to Disney World. We got there, the very first ride we went on, he was scared to death. And he just sat there on the ride the whole time like this. And when the ride got over, I didn't say anything. So we got on the next ride, he was scared to death, same thing. He did this about two or three times, and my addictive behavior kicked in, and I just spewed at him. I work all this time, and I save all this money and do all this planning because you want to come to Disney World, and I bring you all the way down here, and you act like this, you know, blah, 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 let's go home. You know, I'm going to, like, take my luggage and go home. Later on that night, he asked me to take him over to the arcade, and I'm walking along with him. And I thought, okay, I've just started my ninth step. I'm going to do it to my eight-year-old son. That's a good learning experience for me. An eight-year-old making an amends, this should go like a piece of cake. All right, so on the way over, I started telling him about, I'm sorry, and I was wrong. You were born addicted to methadone, and I lost you to Children and Youth Services, and da-da-da-da-da. And it took me about 15 minutes of pouring my heart out to this kid. And he looked at me and he says, you know what, Dad? He said, I can understand you doing that back then because you were sick. He says, but what I don't understand is why you yelled at me today when I was afraid to go on a ride. See, it brought me right back to reality. I was so worried about everything else that was going on outside that I forgot about how I was behaving right then and there. Spiritual principles. See, I have to work with the vigilance to be able to everything that happens in my life. And it's, I don't know about anybody else. If you don't experience what I'm talking about, please let me know because I may ask you to sponsor me. But I have a hard time doing this continually, daily, for the moment, on a regular basis. Okay? I mean, I have a real tough time doing that. The whole time knowing inside of me that this is what got me clean. This is what gives me the freedom. This is what allows me to enjoy life on a daily basis, to be able to interact with other people, all right? To not walk around hurtful and judgmental, to try and be understanding and loving and caring. This is the kind of stuff that I want. This is what Narcotics Anonymous is to me. It's not about, excuse me, okay, I mean, try to understand me. It's not about people sitting around on benches in an open area listening to me flap my gums, okay? That helps, but I may be gone tomorrow, all right? The camp may be shut down next year. The retreat may fold. Now, there are other retreats that we can keep moving along to, and the guy sitting next to you may decide to use tomorrow, and somebody else is going to come in and sit down and take his place. That stuff all changes. It's a part of Narcotics Anonymous. All right, I mean, we are Narcotics Anonymous as a face, as a showing, you know, a physical, what people can see. But I got to remember that unless I'm working the spiritual principles, I'm not Narcotics Anonymous. It's said up here that no one person represents Narcotics Anonymous, okay? I don't think every addict in the world represents Narcotics Anonymous. We're just people. We're human beings, all right? It's the spiritual principles that we practice, that we show people without trying to show them. You know, being able to walk into a store and hold a door for someone, being able to walk by someone and say, how you doing? Being able to give $5 back when the waitress gave me too much change. Being able to go up to someone immediately and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I shouldn't have said that. All right, to be able to continually gauge my behavior, that to me is Narcotics Anonymous. And it's been here from the beginning. So I have to assume that it's going to continue to be here. Why is that? Because it's what we're supposed to do. If it didn't work, we wouldn't be sitting here. You know, if the stuff that the people before us did didn't work, there wouldn't be people before us. It's like a you know, you go back and go back and go back. I can back my sponsor back. Great, great, great grand sponsor maybe or something. And I've got people that I sponsor that sponsor people. So we've got like a chain of seven people that are in that line. They're just people. That's all they are. They're there to me because they practice the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous. And I just needed to get up here and for myself think about what this is all about, why I do this. You know, I love y'all. I really do. I need every one of you. But if you wouldn't be here, I would continue to get what I need to get from the foundation of this program. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Fred, for your inspiration and knowledge on this subject. Is Dave G here? I'd like to introduce Dave G. He's from Hugs Not Drugs in Greensburg, the WE area of Narcotics Anonymous. Please help me welcome Dave.
Good evening, family. My name is Dave, and I am an addict.
Hey, Dave.
I want to thank you all for the opportunity to be here tonight. What is Narcotics Anonymous? Narcotics Anonymous is a fellowship, spiritual fellowship that has held us all dear and close together. Well, we've tried to work this program one day at a time. Like any one of you, I came into this program sick, beaten down, and at my wit's end where my life was going to go next. I came into a room, I didn't know what to expect. All I knew was something I'd never done before, and I tried everything else, so what the hell did I have to lose? I found people that were smiling, were pleasant, had a positive attitude, and they were all trying to do the same thing together, and that was to stay clean. That experience from the very beginning kept me coming back. For someone who was always in turmoil emotionally and spiritually, I walked out of that meeting with a little bit of serenity. And like they told me, keep coming back. And I did. And I kept finding that spiritual serenity growing. One day at a time. My life didn't get better overnight, and it's not supposed to. It has its ups and downs and its challenges. But the fellowship was there for me anytime I needed the support. Divorce, death of a parent. I mean, they were there for the bad times, and they were there for the good times. The promotion, the marriage, the new house. All of those things that would have never happened if I hadn't stayed in the program. We shared together, and we took what we needed from that. Said yes. This is one of those little icings on top of everything else. My life has gotten better. I quit fighting. I always say in my leaves when I first came in that there was only one person three people and I trusted when I came into the program. That was me, myself, and I had doubts of two of them. Alright. But nothing else was working. And my higher power got me here. And all I had to do was have to show the willingness to stay here until a miracle could happen. Little did I know that the miracle happens in my life every day. It took my sponsor to point these sort of things out so that I could recognize them on a daily basis, that God watches over me every day. My higher power has a plan for me. I'm not fighting it. He's bigger than I am, and he knows what I need today. If I'm supposed to have a hard day, if I'm supposed to have a challenging day, okay, let's do it. Fellowship has taught me that I have to keep a positive attitude. Otherwise, I'm going to slide back into the old behaviors and thinkings. The why me's and poor me's and all this other stuff that kept me out there crazy and insane. The fellowship taught me how to live when I didn't know how to. And that was scary. I had to open up and take suggestions from people I didn't know. I got sponsored real quick within 30 days when I first came into the program. I stuck with him through high times and low times. Not only has he been there for me, but I've been there for him. And that's the fellowship too. It's not a one-way street. We give back what we've been given only so we can keep what we have. How true that is today for me too. To believe in. Spoke to my sponsor earlier this week about coming up here, and he said, "What are you speaking about?" I said, "We've got Narcotics Anonymous." He says, "You think you have something to say?" I said, "I think I do." Today, Narcotics Anonymous is changing. Nothing stays the same. Change is scary. But change it must. I choose to get in, take the message and not the mess. I understand the little clicks and all the little insanities that goes on. I don't need to be a part of that. But I am there to help another addict stay clean. I got involvement. Sometimes my wife tells me I got too much involvement, but that's another story. It keeps me clean. It makes me feel good about myself because I'm helping someone else do what that someone did for me. I truly found friends in the fellowship. I may not know all your names, but you are my friends today. We've done things that I never thought we would ever do together, and I've had a great time doing them. And that experience has taught me, don't close the door because you may just pass up something you wish you hadn't. Fellowship has been a gift, because I know deep in my heart if I hadn't found this program, I probably would be dead. Not so much of the drugs, but because of my own thinking, my own despair, my own hatred. My sponsor one day asked me, he said, "How many of these people do you know?" I said, well, I know so-and-so and John Jay and this one and that one. He says, you know them by seeing their face and their name. I said, yeah. He says, but what do you know of them? I couldn't tell him anything. Because the simple reason I was still in early recovery and I hadn't gone past that isolation. I knew your face, I knew your name. That's all I could get at that time. My sponsor asked me, he says, what do you do on Saturdays? I said, well, if I get all the housework done, I just hang out, relax. He says, well, I got a suggestion for you. He says, 11 o'clock Saturday, start calling people down that list that you have, all them phone numbers, till you get somebody willing to go out to lunch with you. Just do that for a couple months. Get to know what they're like, what their interests are, what their families are like. Sit there and break bread with them. Get to know these people. And you know, that broke that down. Today I don't have a problem talking to you. I enjoy coming in early and staying late if I can. Sometimes life doesn't allow me it, but I do it if I can. The fellowship has been good. And I'm not going to diss the fellowship. I just leave it that way. We all find our own way through it. But the fellowship for me has been my life. It showed me where I need to go and do what I need to do. And it's been all through suggestion. The nice thing about suggestion, it was somebody that already invented the wheel before me. I didn't have to do it all over again. I just had to be willing to listen to what worked for them. And have the willingness to do it myself. I hope you found something of interest in this message. I love you all, and I hope you all have a great weekend here. Thank you. Thank you.
Inspiration. I just want to make a note that, you know, I always hear the people say that the program's changing and things like that, and it is always changing because this program of Narcotics Anonymous is a democracy, and that's why we have general service representatives and we have voting rights in every area. We go to the world area when they want to make changes in our literature and things. So always keep that in mind, that you can make a change in this program for the better if you feel it's necessary by stepping forward and doing something about it. At this time, I would like for the reading of Just for Today. Join me in a circle. We'll close this meeting.
We have moment of silence for the sick and suffering addict inside and outside this circle, for those who might die from the disease tonight, followed by the we version of Serenity Prayer. God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
Can you come back? Work if you work. Work if you work and live it.
Hey, I'm running down the
corridor. What's up, Matt?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Tim.
Good.
Brad.
I'm going okay.
What's up, Matt?
I heard Randy going in.
I got a lighter.
The day for the doctor's appointment.
Chuck said he'd be back.
The tape recorder's still running.
Oh. It's not mine. I don't know how to work it, but we'll figure something out. I guess.
Try that.
Some stuff in it? No.